All right, I've sort of made it a slashed word there, love, sex, romance, whatever you might be calling it. The idea is that it's taken over your life and it's becomes an idol. Psalm 19:7, the law, and this is the Hebrew word Torah. You've heard of that perhaps. And Torah means the doctrine, the teaching of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. This is what we're trying to talk about, getting the soul restored. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. The testimony is the story of the patriarchs and so on, the old story. You find out how the law works in real life. You see, they obey and things are fine, or they disobey and things go bad. To the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light or morning in them, the dawning light that dispels the darkness. Let me just paint a horrible picture for you. Organized crime is built on prostitution. Pornography is a billion-dollar a year business. The songwriter declares, "You're nobody till somebody loves you." Another sings that her new love will need me too much, know me too well, pull me up short, and put men through hell. She admits she has fallen in love badly. Another sings, "I am wild again, beguiled again, a simpering, whimpering child again." The world is taken by this concept of love and romance and so on. Today, many are enslaved to that idol, love, sex, romance. God has given us these beautiful gifts, but man has made an idol of them. So a tragic but illuminating example is found in the story of Jacob and Leah. Now, I'm using illustrations that I found and probably have no basis on the reality of things, but here is, he looks a little hairier than I would have imagined. His brother Esau was a hairy man. He was fur-bearing. Anyway, Jacob not. So, but this is Jacob, and you see he's kind of, not a fulfilled man. The story of Genesis 29, he was broken and empty. He deceived his father to get the family blessing, and then lost his family, ran away. He would never see his father and mother alive again. They would die before he came back. He so angered his brother that he had to leave everything, flee to a foreign land, and seek refuge with his mother's family. So his life was empty. He never had his father's love. He had no sense of God's love. And he finally pinned his hope of meaning, his hope of being somebody, on marrying his employer's daughter. This was the gorgeous Rachel. Laban also, the father-in-law, or prospective father-in-law at this point, also had another daughter named Leah. Now Genesis 29:16-17 says, "And Leah, or Laban, had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored." Now, the daughters here are contrasted, and it says that Leah's eyes were called tender. Now, the word, the Hebrew word, can mean tender, soft, delicate, or weak. And so when we're trying to decide what flavor that word is taking in this case, we want to remember that it does not contrast the girls by saying Leah was weak-eyed, but Rachel had perfect vision. That was not the contrast, you see. Something was unattractive about her face, the weakness in the eyes. Rachel, however, was beautiful and well-favored. I found it interesting that the word translated beautiful is actually two words in the Hebrew, beautiful and form. This is talking about the structure of her body. She was beautiful in form. The words well-favored translates, again, two words, beautiful and appearance. So in face and form, she was beautiful. Leah had weak eyes. So we get that idea. Laban received his refugee. Jacob told him what had happened. He told him his background. In that, I think we can read into it that Laban knew the boy didn't have much choice. So he could get him to do whatever he needed. Genesis 29:12-13. Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, that he was Rebekah's son. Okay, her father's brother, yeah. And she ran and told her father, and it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to the house. And he, Jacob, told Laban all these things. He caught him up with the story. What are you here? How are things with your family and so on? He told him the whole story. So he signed on as a helper with the flocks. And it wasn't very long before Laban realized that this guy was very good at what he did. He was a man of talent. He offered him the job of manager. We see this in 29:15. Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Just work to keep busy. Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And he didn't have to think too long. In verse 18, Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, 7 years' wages. I mean, I don't know what he figured he was getting paid, but 7 years' wages. Now, Jacob was desperately lovesick. He offered an enormous price for her, but it meant nothing to him. We read in verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Now, this, I'm going to just say, was an unhealthy love. This is too much. This is where he's counting on her to be the fulfillment of all his dreams and of his life. So he thinks things are going pretty well, but he had jumped to the conclusion that he and Laban were on the same page with this deal. But Laban had been careful with his answer. He did not say, all right, then 7 years and Rachel will be yours. That's not what he says. He says, Laban said, it's better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. This was his way of saying, boy, better you than some other schmuck, you know? So he says, okay, you can have the one I give you, you see. So she became his reason to live. He was convinced that if he had her, it would fix his life. She became his idol. I don't want to press this too much, but I want you to notice how crudely he asked for her hand in marriage. The 7 years are completed. Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. Pay up, I want her in bed. This is pretty crude. So he's waiting. His heavily veiled wife is brought to him. They unite in the darkness. His dreams had come true. He was in heaven. He had Rachel. I imagine beautiful girl looked something like this, and he's dreaming of this all night, you see. It says, then he woke up, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Not what he thought. Not what he thought he was promised. Do you notice the weak eyes? I don't know if you caught that or not. He complained. He complained. Laban answered, oh, he was very debonair. Oh, sorry, I thought you knew our marriage customs. And then he cleverly adds, fulfill her week, and we will give you this also for service, which thou shalt serve for me yet another 7 years. So he was rather clever dude, he says, I've got him for another 7 years just to get what he thought he was getting in the first place. Now, in all seriousness, let me ask you tonight to consider Leah, the one who was given away by trickery, but Dad, he wanted Rachel. He gets what he gets. She was openly rejected by her husband. Hey, that's not what I bargained for, you know. She determined, however, to win his love and his romance by having children. So she was very cooperative in this. Genesis 29, 31, 34. Listen to this story. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, God was on her side, you see. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, that is, see a son. Look what I have produced for you, see. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. That didn't seem to happen. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, that is, hearing. God has heard me. And then she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. She could tell he still wasn't attached to her. Because I have borne him 3 sons, therefore his name will be called Levi. It meant joined, and that was the hope of that child. I hope you feel sympathy for Leah. She had done what she was told. She was trying to make the best of this. Each child was another hope for acceptance. Then came her victory, and this was not so much the result of the husband, but of the Lord. Genesis 29:35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. I think that's a change in her. It was all to get the love of her husband, but now it was to praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, that is praise, and left bearing, stood from bearing. She didn't have any more children. And God praised her. She praised God, God praised her. This child would fulfill the promised line of the coming Messiah. Now, we see that this is a woman who turned to God because the pressure on Rachel was such that only she could fulfill her husband's desire. And though she was producing many sons, wasn't enough. Let's then look at the consequence of this story, the deeper idols, surface idols just having the relationship, but worshiping creature rather than creator is idolatry. You catch that idea? If you tie your life around a thing that God made and not around God himself, this is idolatry. No human relationship can bear the burden of godhood. You turn some person into your idol and you give them worship, which will be some good things, but you also demand the things of a god. And they can't do that. You may idolize the loved one, but the loved one is still flawed and given to earthly decay. And so you, the worshiper, will crush the person with your expectations. No one can give your soul all that it needs except God himself. You're demanding too much. You're asking too much. The person is crushed beneath that expectation. So, what do we urge people that are given to these excesses? What do we tell them? Well, we say, turn to the true bridegroom. Remember that he came for you. Like Leah, he was rejected. He was Leah's son. He gave himself in love and asked to be loved. But the scripture says, but his own received him not. Isaiah 53:2, he hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was a Leah, you see. So, turn to him and say, the phrase of complete dedication, whom have I in heaven but thee? And, come to think of it, down here, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He said, but I love this person. That's fine in its proper place. But love him more. Love him more. And it's at that point, when you have the priorities straight, that you will be free to love another selflessly. To say you love someone, but actually you are using that person to fulfill yourself, is not the true love, not the God kind of love. It is a demanding kind of love. I'll worship you as a God, and I want you to perform godlike for me. Be the fulfillment of all my desire. And they can't. As perhaps romantic as that sounds, as perhaps dramatic as that sounds, they cannot do it. And they will be worn out. They cannot fulfill those shoes. So, until you love completely the one who made you, the one who gave himself for you, the one that you, though he loved you, you have rejected, until you turn to him completely, you will not be free to love another selflessly. All right. Message concerning the idol of sex and romance. It is an ongoing, degrading thing. And to use someone for your own fulfillment, I hope that sounds as bad as I'm trying to make it sound. It's all about you. You see, whereas true marriage is supposed to be all about the other. I don't know if you recognize what the Apostle Paul had said concerning this, but he said that the husband's body is not his own. It belongs to the wife. The wife's body is not her own. It belongs to the husband. Now, that only happens if the husband gives himself to the wife and the wife gives herself to the husband. In other words, your job, even in personal relationships, is to help the other, to enhance the other. Not about you becoming relieved, you becoming fulfilled. It's not about you. It's about God and others. Let's pray. Father, you've turned our hearts to an area that is perhaps difficult and uncomfortable to talk about. But Father, it's the reality around us. And I ask that you might help us tonight to realize that it is the simple fact of turning to you and asking of you what you promise for us. It's not about us hoping to find our fulfillment in something or someone else. Help us to be delivered from that illusion. We ask, Father, that you might give us then the desire of our heart as we focus upon you. We pray that you might allow us then to realize that we're putting a pressure on those that we turn into idols, and they cannot meet that pressure. We're hurting those that we profess to love. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it may be you're saying, I might have fallen into this, I might have come into this, I've made my mate or someone like that a part of my life that I expect a great deal from that one. Rather than saying this is my opportunity to give with my whole heart to this one, I'm expecting a great deal from this person. Let's turn our worship to God alone. May I ask you in your heart to go before God and say, this is the thing that I need, and I can get it only from you. And so I turn my heart to God alone. I worship you alone. I count you as the one who can give me what I need rather than anyone else. And so now I will look at my mate as the one who has the needs, and I am to be giving of myself to him, to her. And I will serve them as God has said. Our Father, we then ask that each one here that has a mate or is expecting to have a mate, we pray that you might allow them to recognize it is not to find some perfect being that they may honor as a God. This is not going to be the end of all your need. That can only be fulfilled by thee. I pray, Father, that you might give us then release from such idolatry by helping us to recognize what it is. It is a foolish imagination. We pray, Father, that you might help us then to give ourselves as you intended, fully to thee, and as you have said, fully to our mate. We pray then thy blessing upon each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen.